Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It is December 29th, 1986, and it is program number 786. I want to wish you all a very, very happy year, a good year. You all deserve it, you World Watchers. You deserve it because of your patience, listening to an hour of news, one solid hour every single week. You deserve it for your open minds. You're willing to allow new ideas to enter. And I appreciate your friendship. I've met friends through the broadcast that are closer to me than even members of my own family. Thank you for that. In the past year, there have been so many new subjects and new topics that I've brought up, and they're constantly being updated. And I'm just going to run through many of them to wind up the year. New material in the news that pertains to those things that we've shared during the past years. One of my favorite plays is Sunday in the Park by Stephen Sondheim, and it's the story of George Seurat and the beginning of pointillism in painting when he lived in Paris. And the important part of the project of his art was that he did dots in particular colors, and he would do a red and next to it a blue. And when an art critic spoke to him about the style, he said, "Your eye, your own lie, will make the purple out of it. You'll see whatever color you want to see, that I haven't blended the colors. They're pure colors. And if a sunset appears purple in his painting, you're seeing purple, but you are getting it from two dots placed together." So this evening we're going to do a little pointillism with World Watchers. The subjects that I bring on and run through, there's not enough, of course, in 1 hour to update. I'm going to do very quickly. Some I'll come back to later in the year. And many of them deserve hours of time, just not mentioning the topic alone. But we'll do them as quickly as we can and get as much in as I can in the hour. The first is that our president is going to the hospital for surgery. He's 75 years old. He's been in quite a few times. The surgery is prostate. And, of course, Nancy Reagan is getting a little smarter. She's been around there a while, and she's asked for the team of doctors from Georgetown and Bethesda not be used. She's bringing in her own physicians, friends of her father's, her late father's, because she wants her own team taking care of the president this time. The very controversial William Casey, of course, you know, has a just about fatal brain cancer. He almost didn't survive the operation on the table, and he will only be back for ceremonial functions. That's what they say. That means to give him an honor for working for the OSS and then the CIA all these years. But in terms of testifying with the Contragate, Irangate story, he will be gone, just as Cyrus Hashemi is gone and Mr. Carr is gone, and primary witnesses that I'll run through real quickly are being wiped out. Casey had a brain tumor, a little nervous dysfunction in the CIA, and was quickly taken off. Martha Mitchell had a 3-year brain tumor after she was injected the night her telephone was yanked off the wall at the time of Watergate. Jack Ruby had a 3-week cancer after he sent messages outside the prison that Lyndon Johnson and the far right wing were involved in the murder of Kennedy. And Casey had a 3-hour diagnosis and then 5-hour surgery for a brain tumor right after he received a telephone call from his client friend, Mr. Fermark, in Canada, who wanted his $10 million back that he had loaned Casey for buying arms for Iran. So Casey is out of the way for all practical purposes. Evans and Novak had a column this past week talking about Frank Carlucci, the new national security advisor, and I will be updating the countries that he overthrew, his work with the military, the CIA, a continuation of the coup process. And in this article by Evans and Novak, they mentioned that he would be working closely with Sven Kramer. Sven Kramer is the son of the notorious German Fritz Kramer, who I accuse and suspect of being Adolf Hitler's right-hand man, the man behind Henry Kissinger, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the Bay of Pigs, and the plans officer of the Pentagon, through which all the various agents mentioned right now in Contragate appear. Whether it's Theodore Shackley or Thomas Kleins or John Singlaub, Richard Seacard. These are the connections to Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger. And Sven has worked his way from a baby raised in Nazi Germany and picked up by his father after the war, then to Harvard, then into the National Security Council, the liaison from there to the president, and now working with the new Mr. Carlucci. When I wrote the story on the Korean airline being downed and why it was downed, and it was published in Hustler in February of 84, I mentioned some of the strongest anti-communists of the American government that would even outdo Larry McDonald, and among those, I mentioned Fritz Kramer and Sven Kramer. Maybe I'm the only person, I once saw a picture of Sven Kramer in the Washington Post, maybe the only person who wrote him as the far-right fascist that he is, and interestingly enough, now he's working with a new security advisor. Henry Kissinger, the protege of Sven's daddy, had a comment that was mailed to me from the Daily News in New York City. It came out late October. Henry Kissinger, one of the prime movers in getting the United States out of Vietnam, they say out of Vietnam, getting us into Vietnam and then out for election purposes, re-election of Nixon and so forth, it's coming out with a magazine article saying the depth of our involvement was a mistake. It surely was a mistake if we were not prepared to win. Was it the war justified? And this was part of the Penthouse article that came out later, but he's even asking questions. Should we have done it at all? Was there any reason to do it? A little hindsight, if the war wasn't popular, he'll tell you now that maybe it was a mistake. But if you objected when he was doing it, then he wiretapped the people on the national security or working in Washington and people from the news media and followed them and had them, I'm sure, rightfully punished or blacklisted or whatever. The necessity for listening to them carries another message after they listen to the messages. I've listed a lot of right-wing organizations that are behind the Contras that are an extension of Fred Eakley, a partner of Fritz Kramer in Washington. And I mentioned by title John Singlaub's organization, the United States Council for World Freedom. That's the one he has in Arizona. And I just wanted to list for you just a few members of that organization to realize what a tight group this is from the Vietnam War and Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer. This comes from him, a message, dear friend, and he's talking about the particular problems in the United States of communism. The board of directors is John Singlaub, who's the head of it. Major John Singlaub is chairman. Vice chairman is Daniel Graham, who is the office partner of the notorious Fritz Kramer and the head of High Frontier and Star Wars. Anna Chenault is another board member. I'm not going to read them all. She is on the board of 20th Century Fox, and when Marvin Davis bought Fox, he put Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford right on with Anna Chenault, and she and her husband are tied up with the Flying Tigers, with the Chiang Kai-shek group that moved to Taiwan, that then formed the World Anti-Communist League, were heavy in narcotics, and the Asian lobby that put in Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan after them, coming on the West Coast in California. Another member of the board is Dr. Stephen Posonai, a professor from Hoover Institute, Stanford University. He's on the board of the organization that Fritz Kramer and Graham share together. Honorable Lev Dobryansky, he's from the World Anti-Communist League, from the Eastern European group that came over with Mr. Wiesner and the CIA and Alan Dulles. Strong fascist links and connections. Ronald Reagan's ambassador to the Bahamas. Then Robert Morris is on the board of this organization, and Robert Morris is described as the chief counsel of the U.S. Senate Internal Security Subcommittee. This was for Senator Joe McCarthy, but he also was located in Dallas, Texas. He's the president of the Dallas University, a Knight of Malta from the Vatican, and he is the person that General Walker sent his team of 19 from Munich, Germany, to contact and make arrangements for people involved in the murder of John Kennedy in Dallas in 1963. Robert Morris is on the board. Andy Messing is on the advisory board. He's close to Ollie North, to General Secord, Henry Kissinger, and Tom Posey and the other organizations. These people jump overboards and work together in many, many ways. Singlaub is chief. He was chief of staff of the United Nations Command in Korea. He's the fellow removed by Jimmy Carter because he wanted to start deploying neutron bombs. He's co-chairman of the American Security Council, and I'll do a lot more on that. As I say, I have to update that organization for you. And then Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus is on his board. John Fisher from the American Security Council, and Fred Schaffley, the husband of Phyllis Schaffley, and they are very, very close, of course, to the persons that put Ronald Reagan into the political scene, Mr. Patrick Frawley. who hired Ed Butler, the fellow that was in New Orleans making a record with Oswald to establish his Marxist bona fide so he could go, or he thought he was going next to Cuba after he came home from the Soviet Union. The point of reading these people now is that there is a pattern that goes with William Casey and all these people from the OSS, for members of Hitler's Waffen-SS, into our intelligence community and came home and formed these private organizations that have advisors with advisory overlapping of boards and members of boards who influence the president and who were called in by the Defense Department to set up operations that if the elected Congress don't like, then they can function and put in money and agents and use the Treasury Department, the Defense Department, for delivering the weapons or aeroplanes and the Swiss bank accounts of the CIA and the Defense Department. So under the guise of being these 30 private organizations, I just wanted to read you the board of directors of the United States Council for World Freedom. There are about 30 more Lulus here, but I think that you get a pretty good idea of them, and I want to move on to some other news. I spent most of 2 days of the holiday here putting in separate files and categories the persons, the deaths, individual deaths or airplane crashes of persons just related to the Contragate story that have been in the news that tie them to events of the past. Last week, I briefly mentioned, or the week before, Gaetano Mazzari from the Pizza Sicilian Connections and the links to Donald Reagan and Merrill Lynch, and Stephen Carr, the primary witness in that Christic Institute suit who was killed in Los Angeles. That he was afraid of being killed. He left messages or tapes in case he was killed. And, of course, they first said suicide or drugs, but he was very fearful and warned the landlady, slept with the lights on, and was fearful that they were out, the powers that be were out to murder him. I listed Dr. Cyrus Hashemi, murdered in London, and a questionable death about John Shaheen, a close partner of Roy Furmark, a key person in all these stories, and the questionable 3 months cancer of Donald Fortier of the National Security Council. Now, in the next year, 1987, I'll be running down with you, in addition to those or more details on those cases, the connection of Mr. Cirillis with George Bush, the anti-Castro Cuban, and the blowing up of Air Cuba and the CIA when Bush was CIA director. Going back, I'll go to Air Florida and the airplane crash I did many hours of research on, in the relationship of those events to Stanley Sporkin, who was recently made a federal judge by Ronald Reagan, and the role of Sporkin in having Edwin Meese not investigate the Contra drugs murders in Florida for a while, or Fort Lauderdale, holding it up because of the links to Iranian money. All of the people involved in this Iran gate go back to the Bay of Pigs, to Robert Mayhew, the CIA, the FBI, and the use of those particular agencies to set up assassination teams. And, of course, the big payoff in all this was opium and cocaine. The Contra aeroplane that fell in Nicaragua, I want to update more about the CIA connections of those people. And I still want to know why the fourth man on that aeroplane has only been identified in one quick sentence in U.S. news and is still a non-person. There must be a very good reason for that. Also, the Contra aeroplane that went down at Kelly Airfield has not been explored sufficiently, or Leon Mulcahy. Has he been proven or disproven, or will it ever be that he's related to Kevin Mulcahy because of the connections to Edwin Wilson and so forth? I have a list of like 36 deaths and primary witnesses, the most recent. I won't run them all down now because I'll continue the deaths later. The Kansas City Star, a friend in Kansas, sent me a short article about Glenn Souham, S-O-U-H-A-M, and the Washington Star had a long article about him December the 10th, 1986, titled White House Quizzed on Ties to Slain Frenchman. And it has to do with a senior member of the National Security Council staff and involved with the president's appointment secretary, and the links of Glenn Souham, who was shot and murdered by ambush by two gunmen just this past September. He has close links to the White House, was working for the White House. He died in Paris, and I'll do more about his death and his murder. This Mr. Souham was the person that he practiced law with, was a law partner, former Vice President Walter Mondale, and Mr. Overman, his law partner, worked closely with Gerald Ford as associate director in the White House, and was a fellow assistant to Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. I'll do a lot more about the political connections of this person, but he's key to this story, and he died in Paris just a short while ago as the story was breaking out. Now, the local newspapers, and I'm sure your papers where you live, had a list of the top stories of 1986. You were supposed to choose out of a list of this what you considered the top stories, and out of the top foreign national stories, you were to choose like 10 out of 15. I marked the ones that we have carried on World Watchers and brought up, and I added two that they don't have here that are left out that are very, very important. Now, the main news coverage may cover up a lot of the implications of these stories, but one of them, of course, is the Iranian arms dealing and the Contra funding. The next is the Challenger explosion. The fact that it exploded isn't the story. The fact that it was ordered to blow up and the transfer of it from a obvious attempt to make it a peacekeeping apparatus for exploration, it shifted directly to military. But the Challenger explosion, the Chernobyl disaster, and again, the leakage of the radiation and so forth, the story that we did on World Watches that I shared with all of you was I thought that it was sabotage. The Reykjavik summit has recommended here as a suggestion for one of the top stories. The story of Reykjavik isn't over yet. What was said? Why did the president go there? Why did he come home and offer to give up all atomic bombs, not all, but bring home and deploy a lot of bombs scaled down in Europe? What kind of a deal did he make, and why did he make it? And, of course, that has to do with Danilov. And when they list these things, they don't put Danilov next to that. Democrats capture the Senate in an off-year election. That's another story. But how hard they fought and how the Republican governors won has to do with Ollie North and the money that goes from Iranian profits into domestic elections. All of these things that they list, choose the one top story, are things that are still foaming around that will someday in the history books be explosive in the terms of the relationship to a lot of other events that affect our lives. The use of money from sending arms to Iran, which was illegal anyway, and trying to overthrow elected officials or put in their own selected people is a story. And the way the Democrats could take the Senate in spite of millions and millions of dollars of TV commercials to throw them out is a hard capture. That was a hard battle. U.S. bombs Libya is one of the stories. The story isn't big because Admiral Poindexter and Ollie North and the late admiral who just died last week, that's another death among the list of people that I'll share with you, the head of NATO, who suddenly is 55 years old or so, and he was in charge, his ship was in charge of bombing Tripoli and Benghazi. That's Admiral Arthur Morea, M-O-R-E-A, and he also worked in the Philippines at Sugi and Clark Base. He died a very quick and timely death at this particular moment. The story was the disinformation and also the new evidence about the Berlin Disco and the two people that died there, and the bombing was not linked in any way that they could find out through investigations to Libya. The disinformation, the excuse to bomb Libya, and the actual bombing and killings is the story. Nicaragua, Congress votes aid to Contras. That's a big story. But then it turned out that Ollie North used the media and lobbyists and millions of dollars of disinformation about the dangers of what the Contras were doing so that the Contragate story has to rearrange the news the way it's covered. They list these as single events. But what makes them events are the contradictions, the lies. The team of the CIA, of the National Security Council, of the super secret group beyond the National Security Council is what makes the news. They list Ivan Bosky's fall and Wall Street insider trading scandal. Bosky's fall was important, but Bosky is on one of these far right wing foundations, and I'll run some of those more. I'll update those with you. He works with Mr. Coors. He's a very conservative representative of the Jewish community, and also one of the big financiers of Simon Wiesenthal. Bosky, the fascist, and Bosky's connections are important because of the people who want to believe in him as a great success story, and then his fall. They have Danilov's Soviet spy released. That was a story, the way Armin Hammer went over there, but the pressure of the release the day he was taken was the same pressure and anxiety that the former Attorney General Griffin Bell had to go to Hassenfuss, and they had to get him home. It was why he was released and how fast he was released. Not that he was released, but what was the hysteria and why did it cause Renkovich? And they're not listed as connected events. They're listed as separate. Then they have Mideast terror, the Pan Am hijacking in Karachi, two American hostages freed, and the Turkish synagogue massacre. In one, 22 were killed, the other 12 were killed. Those happened the night before Ronald Reagan was to campaign for Ed Chau, one of the most conservative senatorial candidates, whose campaign was run by David Packard of Hewlett-Packard from Stanford University. And I did broadcast on the fact that Chau, after the synagogue bombing and the Karachi-Pakistan airport crisis, then he said, I now have an issue. And following those, the same next day, he was down at Century City with Ronald Reagan, and they could talk about terrorism as a campaign issue. I want you to note that this was a long while ago, a few months ago. There hasn't been anyone arrested in either case. No one apprehended, no one in the Jewish community saying what happened in Turkey. These were agent provocateur effects happened by our allies, NATO ally Turkey, and also Pakistan with Mr. Zia, to affect the election of congressmen, senators, and representatives, and governors to get conservative, strong persons into office, that those events are created over there. Then they mentioned the Rehnquist-Scalia Supreme Court post. Scalia, incidentally, gave the judicial permission for the likes of Henry Kissinger to wiretap or bug persons if it's national security. Rehnquist and Scalia are important, but also the president has appointed 50% of all federal judges on benches have been appointed by Ronald Reagan in his administration, and he has 2 years to go. Another news item they list is Marcos toppled in the Philippines Aquino takeover. But, of course, the story is why is John Singlaub down there? Why is Thomas Kleins? And the real story there is the missing billions. And it ties into Japanese reparations, Nazi money, Nazi gold, war profits, and money sent from various agencies in Europe and Japan, and the links of the Marcoses to Swiss banks siphoning it out of the country that they had to topple her. The administration toppled her. And it has to do with gold and narcotics traffic. Then they listed administration accused of disinformation campaign on Libya. That's a news story that Admiral Poindexter said, we can lie to you. In the interest of deceiving Gaddafi, we can tell Gaddafi that he's having a breakdown, that he's sick, and nobody loves him. Well, only Gaddafi knows that he isn't having a breakdown and he isn't sick. But all the other stories that I've listed for you are disinformation, every one of them carries an aura of disinformation, of propaganda, of anti-terrorism, of anti-Sovietism, and they are used for political purposes that include disinformation. And one reason I've been so busy, just so busy in the last years with Reagan as president, is it's hard to keep up with the events and then save all the articles and prove all the lies that keep coming down the pike. Then another item here is thousands die of AIDS. Search for a cure continues. It isn't thousands, it's into the millions. That's another lie. And the true facts about AIDS and the disease AIDS was suppressed, particularly until the last election was over. And then all of a sudden, Great Britain is concerned about AIDS. They want to give physical examinations to people who come into there. And everyone in our army is being checked for AIDS. I'll update a little more on AIDS. But that is a lie to say thousands die, when it is much more, and you can see that in your papers. Another news story they recommend, you're supposed to choose which one is the most important out of all of these, as if these aren't connected. Another one is the Führer over Waldheim's war record, elected president of Austria. And then it turns out that France, the United States, and all the major nations knew that he was a war criminal, that he should have been prosecuted, that they held this back. He's now literally under house arrest. He hardly leaves the place. The Führer over his record is everybody's crime, because those in the United Nations that elected him president of the United Nations knew about that, and the records were right there in that same building. So the Führer starts after a piece of paper is discovered linking him when he's running for president of Austria, but he already was just about in. So it boomeranged. The Austrian people love it. It didn't stop the election. And his one largest supporter of all people is Simon Wiesenthal. Another story here, big story you're supposed to check, is drug war intensifies with Len Bias death. The administration orders testing of federal employees. Bias's death was a huge campaign issue. It was a huge diversionary. It gave Mrs. Reagan a chance to be a prominent public servant. She even received $50,000 from Mr. Furmack, that controversial man who was wheeling and dealing with the likes of Cyrus Hashemi and Adnan Khashoggi, whose fingers tip a little bit of drugs, as do Paul Laxalt and the whole entourage, Marcos of Philippines, Imelda Marcos. They are in the middle of the hugest drug operations in the entire world. And the Bias death was, again, a big campaign issue to divert from all the other things that he was doing at the time, get rid of two well-known black athletes within a few days of each other, and go for drugs when the drug problem among the athletes is not a big problem in the United States compared to many others. And then Duvalier, overthrown in Haiti, goes into exile. And, of course, the big story is the flight capital, that when people know they're not popular and the castle is being stormed, they've taken 10, 20, 30 million out of the country, if not more, put in Swiss banks. Then an impoverished country says, come help us. And the big story is that then the United States started sending arms and weapons to replace what Papa Doc was doing to keep the police and the people down, and you don't hear much about Haiti. And then the item about U.S. economy, hard times in oil country, Midwest farm belt restructuring. The big story was the payment of $2 billion not to grow crops next year. Well, there's such massive starvation around the world that we could be feeding people instead of finding a way to get rid of food because it's too expensive to store. Now, the two big stories that aren't on this list that I covered at length are the story of advanced genetic sciences, the plan to put live bacteria onto food and not knowing the consequences and how it could affect the immune system of people, and of course testing the neutron bomb in Cameroon. They didn't list the 1,700 people that died in Cameroon, but that is one of the big stories they've left out here. The Guardian had an article December 17th, rare debate about genetic engineering, and it's about biology and advanced genetic sciences and the illegal use of some of these testing programs in Argentina on food that they were not told about. In these times, just this past week, December the 10th, has an article on Jeremy Rifkin, his Foundation on Economic Trends. It's called Biotechnology, Is It a Panacea or a Pandora's Box? That is a big story. The multinational corporations of Rome and Haas and the Swedish Foundation, whoever they are, and the Belgian Foundation, sending live altered bacteria, genetically altered, to California to start their tests. And also they've been doing it in Idaho, I believe, on potatoes, and in Texas is a big story. This past week, a few days ago, in our local paper, they said tests of ice minus bacteria is safe. Now, the proof of these things doesn't come out for 5 or 10 years, but they said advanced genetic sciences can begin using ice minus, that they used it at a Tule Lake agricultural field station south of the Oregon border, and therefore it is safe. And Jeremy Rifkin said this is only a rubber stamp for the project. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal just recently, not all private eyes go around trailing wayward spouses. That's a funny title of an article, a long article, May 23rd, and this past year, and it tells about a well-known man, William Callahan, who is a private spy for agencies such as Reverend Moon and the former Shah of Iran. His clients include Roman Haas and the Reverend Sun Young Moon of the Unification Church, are among two of them. Well, Roman Haas is one of the large corporations that began and started the offices out in Oakland, California, or Berkeley, of Advanced Genetic Sciences. And the people they associate with and have help in common with, or investigators in common, also are closely tied to the Moonies. And the Moonies are great scientists. They had a convention in Washington just in November this past month, November 27th, 30th. And there's an article in New Solidarity titled Moonie Science Meet. And this has to do with the convention of people there who relate then on to other subjects in the news that we've covered for a long time. The gist of the article is about Alexander King, the founder of the Club of Rome, who opened the Moonies Conference on Science. and the subject was depopulation of Africa. The conference is called the Conference from the Unification of Science, ICUS. Reverend Moon set it up. It's the 15th annual scientific convention with 254 scientists, and they have unlimited, according to this article, unlimited mysterious funds at the disposal of the Unification Church. They're all guests there. And Mr. King from the Club of Rome spoke on Africa, on the need to control the country, how to control the culture, the language, the diversity in Africa. He said, the culture, language, and diversity must be abolished, changing Africa's mentality completely, and all its religions must be changed, and anything that resists family planning, under the guise of family planning. And the article goes on to say it's already being depopulated by famine, drought, and epidemic diseases like AIDS. I'll take a one-minute break and go on to the link of AGS and Roman Haas to the scientific minds and other problems, as I say, that are currently in the news, because these people I mentioned, the organizations and the foundations, are all connected to each other and love to meet at conventions of this kind.